Oh, good morning, Valley Church. I'm going to try that again. Good morning, Valley Church. Oh, isn't it a great day to be in the house? Looks a little strange. It definitely looks different because I believe that God is on the move. And I just want to share a little bit this morning. I feel like what I heard, sensed, and felt from the Lord this morning is like, all right, Lynn, I want you just to sit back and enjoy and experience the fruits of what I have been producing here at Valley Church. And I just tell you, sit back and enjoy the fruits that we're going to experience this morning for what God has been doing at Valley Church. I could not be more proud or more excited to introduce to you what's about to happen. God has given us in this house vision for a long time for us, for a school that we would be a house, a training center that's raising up from the littles up to graduating people that at a point in time we will become a resource center for the Northwest. We'll be sending out pastors. We'll be sending out worship leaders. And we're going to experience the fruit that's been produced through that vision. And Leah Henry, where are you? Yes, yes. God brought this. You know, I was so bummed. My wife was looking for my T-shirt this morning. It's that woman he gave me. I did wear it last Friday. I did wear it, and I will find it again, and I will be wearing that again because I'm so excited and so proud of what. When God sent Leah, we got this incredible gift to Valley Church, for a Valley High School ministry, for a Valley from the littles all the way up through. And I'm so excited. I just want to turn it over now. Let's one more time give our appreciation, show our appreciation as we honor not just the principal of the school, but she is so, so, so much more to these kids, to the staff of Valley Church. Just Leah, we love you, we bless you, we honor you right now.
It's going to be good. Are you excited? I'm so excited. All right. So what is Valley High School Ministry? My husband has told me I should probably tell you that. It's a ministry school for high school students so that they don't have to wait to go to Bethel or YWAM or something else. They get to actually start and give some of their high school years to that as well. What does it mean to you guys? Louder. Fun. Community. Freedom. Equipping. Some of their accomplishments this year, they've read the entire Bible, cover to cover. It's legit. They've done Dave Ramsey class. Yes, I know, yes. Because I want them to be burning ones 5 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, and the things that take Christians out, money, sex, power. So we went after all of those. They spent some time with, Chris Vallotton's curriculum on walking in freedom with your sexuality. He's amazing. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Supernatural ways of royalty. They have each preached multiple times, 5 minutes of fire with Pastor Matthew and his amazing Bible class. They have gone on outreach every single month to downtown Caldwell and shared the gospel and their faith. I've been so proud of them. We've had amazing testimony after testimony. We have a testimony hour every time we come back, an hour of what God did every single time we go out. They've pursued freedom plans, and they're walking those out. Things from addiction, freedom from addiction, porn, self-hatred, anger, lying, being influenced by the world. And many of them would say that's their favorite thing that they did this whole year, because to walk in freedom is pretty powerful, and it's pretty cool to go in there and be able to live what you believe. So you're going to get a taste of what this year has been like in just a few minutes, but I'm asking for grace for the day. Even if everything doesn't go perfect or something's not said the way you would have said it, we're just super excited about their grace, about their willingness to grow, John Wimber spells risk fate. Ugh. What is going on? I've got a cold. All right. John Wimber spelled faith R-I-S-K. And I'm so proud of these risk takers. See, I'm making the mistakes for you so we can all just be calm and like not care and shake it off because it doesn't matter. When we risk, we win. Just for them getting up here, we're winning. All right, so we have a plan. It's always about his presence, but this morning is going to be really special. So be interceding for them, be praying for them, partnering with them. When they come up here, we stand and we cheer and have the at the beginning, not the end, because that's our culture of honor. So the first young, gorgeous lady that I'm going to introduce is Maddie Allen. Come on up here. Yes. You get your computer all ready and I'll start telling them about you. This woman is a woman of God. She is powerful. She walks in purity. She is prophetic as all get out. She'll be on our prophetic team in just a little bit. She is going to start us off with fire. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of everything you do. All right, here you go. I'm
leaving. All righty. Well, good morning, everybody. Can you guys see me past my laptop? I'm a little vertically challenged, so. Okay, we're good. We're good, right? Okay. Okay. Well, it's an honor and it is a privilege to be up here. I've been coming to Valley Church for, what is it, Mom and Dad, 4.5, almost 5 years? 5 years, that's a long time. I've been up on this stage numerous times and I've never shared a message, so I'm very, very excited to be here today. My parents are here, which I love them. I just want to honor them because I would not be who I am without them today. So I love you, Mom and Dad. And I also just want to honor Pastor Lynn and Renee for giving us the stage to do this, because that is a very big honor for sure. Alrighty, guys, so let's jump in. For you note takers in the room, the title of my message is What Were We Made to Consume? So my first verse is Hebrews 12:29, and this is what it says. It says that our God is an all-consuming fire. I'm going to read it again. Our God is an all-consuming fire. Okay, so by a show of hands, how many of you have accepted Jesus into your heart to be Lord and King over your life? Amazing. You've made the best choice ever. It's the best choice ever. But I have good news for you guys. So the second that you accept Jesus into your heart, you become a light. Point blank. You become a light because what was dead has now come to life because Jesus brings life. All right. And we're set on fire for him. And there's a spark that's ignited within us and we're set on fire for him. But here's the thing. Because our God also has given us free will, he also gave us the choice of how you're going to tend to that flame. Psalms 18:28 says this, "You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." So as I was reading this and I was preparing this message, I was like, okay, God, I need something that like is really, I'm a visual person. So when I read this verse, what really stood out to me is, "You, Lord, keep my lamp burning." And it depicts an image of a lamp that is kept burning by God. And so I was like thinking about this a little bit. I was like, Lord, so what about a lantern? What keeps a lantern burning? And the answer obviously is oil. So I wanted to understand lanterns a little bit more, how they're kept burning, all the good stuff. So we jumped over to Google, who's like my bestie at this point. I wanted to understand it more. And specifically, what oil can you put into a lantern and what can you not put into a lantern? And so as I was doing a little bit more research, this is what Google says. It says, to improve the longevity of your lamp, there's an emphasis on longevity there, there are certain oils that you have to use. And among the few that are used for lanterns, you have to use olive oil, which I was like, great. That's like an anointed oil, guys. That's all throughout the Bible. You know what I mean? Like, it's an amazing oil. If you're anything like my house, seed oils are like the devil, you know? So this is one of the few that's suggested for a lantern. But I was like, okay, so that's one of the few that's suggested to use in a lantern. But what about something that you can't put into a lantern? And actually, one of the things that you cannot put into a lantern is gasoline. That was a little interesting. I was like, okay, well, when you think about it, if I'm making a fire, right, and I threw a big old tub of gasoline on it, that thing would, like, blow up. So you know what I mean? It's supposed to make the flame bigger. But if you put that into a lantern, it will actually cause it harm. So doing some more research, I found that biblically, olive oil means purity, holiness, and the presence of God. We were made by God for the presence of God. If you hear nothing else, we were made by God for the presence of God. We were made to receive him. We were not created to burn out, but to burn for him. So in this verse, going back to it, the lantern is symbolic for our hearts. God made us with hearts that need to be fueled with pure oil, with something constant. And God's nature is constant because he is always there. Jesus died for us. He was pressed for us so that we could receive his oil daily. And so, again, as I was talking about earlier, how the Lord gave us free choice or free will, excuse me, on how we want to tend this flame, is being completely blunt, is do you want more of him or do you want to stay stagnant? So you cannot just fill a lantern once and expect it to burn forever. Consistent oil is the only way to continue that flame and to get it to grow. And so here's the thing, though, is as I was talking about gasoline earlier, you know what I mean? You're thinking about it and you're like, okay, if I put gasoline on fire, then it will make it be even bigger. Here's the thing. The world is going to offer gasoline. The world is going to offer gasoline. These are things that are hidden behind the name of this is going to be great for you. This is going to bring you prosperity. This is going to bring you a great life. But in all reality, it is going to hurt your heart. It's going to hurt your lantern. But here's the thing. Here's the good news is that God gives us the olive oil. He is constantly there for us. He will always be there. And he is the one that if you just receive him and you say yes, he's always there. There's nothing. He is always there for you and he will continue to pour out over you. So the quality of your oil, Lord, let me say it this way, what you're putting in will determine the severity of your fire. So what you're putting into your life will determine how severe that you are burning. So we must continue to seek him above all else because our God is an all-consuming fire. And he doesn't just want parts of you. He wants every little piece of you. He wants the good, the bad, the ugly, the perfect, everything and anything. He wants all of it. So I want to leave you with this question today is what is fueling your lantern? Thank you. Alrighty, thank you guys. Okay, so now you heard a little bit from me, but now I have the honor and privilege to introduce this mighty man of God. He is funny, he is a very hard worker, and he imitates Christ so very well. So would you all please stand up and welcome John Emery.
Thank you, Maddie. Excellent job. Well, this is an honor to be up here preaching. I never would have thought I'd be up here. Thank you, Pastor Lynn, for giving us this opportunity. Well, how's everyone doing this morning? Good. Awesome. Well, what am I saying here? Okay, so note takers, the title of today's message for me is whether or not women should be able to preach in church. So if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians, is there something funny or? No, we're not doing that. We're really preaching on whether or not aliens are demons or not. No. Okay. I just have to wake some of you up. I see some of you are like, it's the weekend. I woke up early to come to church. Thank you for coming. Okay. So for the title of my real message is you don't have to strive to burn. So I looked up the definition of striving, and it came up with in a spiritual or emotional context, striving can mean trying in your own strength to be good enough, earn approval, or maintain something like passion or faith, often leading to exhaustion or burnout. For my opening, have you ever seen a candle struggle to burn? It doesn't. All it needs is a flame and something to sustain it. In the same way, we weren't made to strive, we were made to stay lit by the presence of God. Burning for Jesus isn't about running yourself dry. It's about staying connected to the source of the fire. I know this personally. Not long ago, I found myself burning out. Not because I was doing too much for God, but because I wasn't tending to my relationship with him at all. When I was 13, I went away for the summer to work for my extended family's road construction company. I was surrounded by people and family who didn't know Jesus. They were living by the world's standards, not God's. And I began to look up to them. By allowing them to influence me, I slowly started to drift further and further away from my relationship with the Lord. The people around me didn't push me towards Jesus, they pulled me away. But God, being so gracious, gave me godly community in my life. At 14, I started working at the church here, Valley Church, for an intern as Pastor Tim, for Pastor Tim. I interned weekly through the winters and eventually led me to being on staff as maintenance. But when the summers rolled around, I would go back summer after summer to my family's company. And by the time I was 16, I had worked my way into a higher position. I had better pay, a nice company truck, and I was in charge of a crew, and I loved it. But work and money became my focus. I was working so many hours that the desire for success took over. Slowly but surely, I could feel myself growing distant from God. I wasn't praying, and I only touched the Bible in church. I was on the fence, the Sunday morning Christian, and then allowing the world to influence me throughout the week. My mom could see this in me. She saw how I had grown distant from God. So she wanted to help me. She enrolled me into the school VHSM. I didn't like the idea at first, but I eventually went. So how do you burn for Jesus without striving and burning out? Here are three simple truths that changed my life. Number one, stay close to the flame. Intimacy over activity. You don't have to do more to burn brighter. You just need to stay close to Jesus, the flame himself. That's where passion, strength, and fire come from. Luke 10:38 through 42 tells the story of Mary and Martha. Martha was busy doing all the work, but Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet to stay close to him. Jesus said, "Mary has chosen what is better." When you choose presence over performance, the flame takes care of itself. Number two, fuel the fire daily. Consistency over intensity. Fires don't stay lit on yesterday's wood. You've got to add fresh fuel daily. Spending time with God doesn't have to be a huge dramatic moment, but it's about choosing him daily. Reading the word, praying, worshiping keeps the fire alive. Matthew 6:11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." God designed it to be daily, not once in a while. Okay, number three, don't burn alone. Community over isolation. Community here, okay. Proverbs 13:20. "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Choose wisely." When I was isolated and working all the time, I had no godly community, and I didn't even notice how far I drifted from God. But when I finally said yes to going to VHSM, I got around people who were burning for Jesus, and my flame came back to life. Hebrews 10:24 through 25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another." A fire burns brightest when the logs are stacked together. If you try and burn alone, you'll burn out. Surround yourself with people who push you towards Jesus. For my closing, you weren't created to strive, you were created to shine. God isn't asking for your performance, he's after your heart. Stay close, stay consistent, stay connected, and your flame will keep burning. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you the rest." The pressure is not on you to keep the flame burning, it's on you to stay close to the flame. So I want to challenge everyone this morning to take the next step by choosing him daily. Spend time in prayer, read your Bible, open your Bible daily, and get into godly community. this is great, in church, and try and just call up some friends that you meet, people here at church, get phone numbers, and just start that godly community in your life. Thank you. Well, it is my honor and privilege to introduce this next speaker. This person has the love of God all over them. They walk it out every day by moving their feet. This lady has the spirit of God. She has the looks. Everyone give it up for Ruth Henry.
Hold on. Let me get set up. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. I just want to say this. I know they all said it, but I am so honored that I get to speak. Thank you so much, Pastor Lynn and Renee, for this opportunity to do this. I also want to say thank you to my parents, my mom, my dad. I don't know where he is, but I love you. Oh, there you are. I love you guys so much. Thank you for all you've done in my life. Okay, so here's my message. Move your feet. I know, it's a pretty simple title, but I think it's very fitting. And I want to start this off with a concern that I have in church culture. Can I do that? Is that all right? Yeah? Okay. I'm gonna need interaction. I'm gonna need laughs, giggles. I need that. I feed off of that. All right, here's my great concern. We treat the Great Commission as the great suggestion. Can I read you the Great Commission really quick? It says this in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands that I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. That is the Great Commission. Why do we take that as a suggestion? If someone who is over, okay, I'm going to give you this example. If you're in the military and your boss, your sergeant, your commanding officer gives you an order, aren't you going to go do it? Is Jesus not our commanding officer? It's very clear. In the Bible. Now, what are those commands that we're supposed to teach the nations, teach the people around us? What are those commands? It says this in Matthew 10, 7 through 8. Go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here's the commandments. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons. Freely as you have received, freely give. That is the command of God. So why do we treat that like it's some sort of just, you know, on weekdays when I have the chance or weekends when I'm at church? Why have we become Sunday morning Christians who have burnout? Why? Why is this culture and why is this normalized? Your forgiveness, your salvation, what Jesus paid for, it cost you nothing. Okay, but living it out will cost you everything. And it will cost you your comfort zone. It will cost you your reputation. It'll cost you maybe old friends. Maybe it'll cost you family members. It might be I have to walk away. I'm sorry, I love you, but I can't be in this. I can't be around this anymore. And I have to be over here because this is where people are burning. And I have to be a burning one. This is the gospel, to actually go and reach people and to not just stay lukewarm and complacent. I want to say this. Your 60 seconds of boldness could change someone's next 60 years. Your 60 seconds of being, oh, I'm so scared, I don't know what to say. Jesus will put the words in your mouth if you're willing to go. My favorite verse in the entire Bible is Zechariah 4:6. It says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit declares the Lord of hosts. I've stepped out so many times. I'm not saying that to be arrogant or boastful. I've stepped out so many times when God has said, will you go pray for this person? Will you go give this person a prophetic word? Will you tell them I love them? And I've stepped out so many times and God has always met me and incredible things have happened. I've seen people, there was this girl at youth camp one year. I was in Kona, Hawaii, and I was at a YWAM youth camp, and there's this girl in the back of the auditorium area, and she was limping. Her two friends were having to carry her. She couldn't put any pressure on her leg. I walked up to her, I asked, can I pray for you? She said, yes. She was walking by the end of that 5-minute prayer. That's not on me, that's on him. I said yes and I stepped out. I've also seen people not get healed, but what I've seen consistently is God meet me every time I've stepped out and been brave enough to do it. So don't let the fear of, well, what will I say? What will I do? What will happen? Don't let that stop you from doing what he asked you to do. And it's not just always the voice of God. Like, he'll speak to me in a whisper, it feels like, in my mind. He'll speak to me in my mind. He'll be like, Ruthie, will you do this? I'm like, yes, Lord. It's not always in the big booming voice. It's sometimes in the soft whisper that he says, will you do this? Will you listen? Yes, Jesus, I will move my feet and let me be someone who you trust to speak to that I will move. Let me be someone who you trust, Jesus. That is my heart's cry. My other concern, I have many concerns, but my other concern that I'm going to kind of go into is that we've become really pretty trees with really nice roots that we're all trimmed up and we look great and we're all pruned and we have no fruit on our branches. And we have this really great Sunday morning relationship with God. And, you know, sometimes we'll open our Bible and, you know, we'll put our kids in Sunday school and it's awesome and it's great. And we know all the right verses to say we're saved. And there's no fruit on our branches. How do you know that an apple tree is an apple tree? I mean, unless you're like some tree expert. But like, how do you know an apple tree is an apple tree? By its... Oh, you guys are good. By its fruit. We know things by their fruit. Your actions are the fruit of your life. So you will know a Christian by their what? By their fruit. The Bible doesn't say you will know Christians by their, well, I say I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, I go to church. That doesn't tell me that you follow Jesus. I know plenty of Christians who go to church every Sunday and they look real pretty. And I'm like, you are not this every other day of the week. And that's really sad. People say the church is full of hypocrites, and the sad part is they're right. Why? Because we don't live it. Because we're too comfortable. Because we don't want to move our feet because there's a cost to it. Your salvation, I'll say this again, your salvation cost you nothing. But living it every day and actually putting fruit in your life will cost you everything. It costs me my comfortability every time I do it. I'll give you this story too. I was at the gym. I love the gym. It's my favorite place in the whole world. So it's my very comfort. It's very much my comfort zone. And I'm there, and this was probably about maybe a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. And I'm working out, I'm doing my thing, and this older gentleman comes up to me and he says, hey, I love your shirt. I often go after school, so I'm often wearing like Jesus Loves You t-shirt. And so I was wearing that, and this older gentleman comes up to me and says, I love your shirt, that's so cool that you're repping your faith here in the gym. And I was like, yeah, we talk for a little bit. He goes, does his thing, I do my thing. And I'm sitting there, and I'm getting up, and the Lord says, I want you to go up and ask him if he needs prayer for anything. And I'm like, well, you meet me every time, so I'll do it. And so I walk up to him, and I say, hey, I introduce myself again. He gives me his name's Pat. And I ask, do you need prayer for anything? And he goes, well, actually, I have an MRI scheduled to see if cancer has come back. It had been about 10, 15 years, I believe, since it had been there. And so he's like getting it scheduled to see if it's back, because there had been blood work, and anyway. So I was like, wow, okay, well, can I pray for you? Can I pray for your healing? He's like, yes, of course, I would love that. So I pray for him. It's like a 5-second prayer. Like, it's not long. It doesn't always have to be a big deal when you pray for people. It can just be a little, Jesus, I just ask you would reveal yourself and heal them. In Jesus' name, amen. Easy as pie. Okay, so I pray for him. I leave. 3 weeks go by. I'm on vacation. I'm out of town. I see him again at the gym. He comes up to me and John, and he goes, "The prayers of the righteous availeth much." And I was like, interesting way to start a conversation, but yes, they do. And so he says that, and I'm like, "How are you doing? How is all the tests?" He goes, "I'm cancer-free." Wait, what? I start freaking out. I'm jumping like an idiot. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, it was so cool, you guys, because I've never prayed for someone and seen them healed of, like, something that big, I guess. Like, cancer is like the C word. Like, we never say it. Don't say it. But I'm like, cancer? God healed you? That's so cool. And I was so excited about it. I invited him, Pat, to come today, but I'm not sure if he's here. Are you here, Pat? No? Cool. Okay, that's fine. He was here on Encounter Night, and it was really cool. Got to pray for him and minister to him again. But I just want to say this. Moving your feet has a cost. Being a Christian has a cost. And if you want something, a religion, a relationship that doesn't have a cost, this may not be the right one for you. Jesus came and gave everything. We don't have the crosses up anymore, but he gave everything on a cross. He died for you. He loves you. And there's nothing in this life that is worth the cost of losing him. There's nothing. Jesus is everything. And to follow him will cost you everything. And I'm willing to give everything. Are you? Are you willing to give everything? Don't just say it if you don't mean it. Mean it. Live it. Love him. Pray for people. Faith looks like something. Love looks like something. And I believe fully that it looks like exiting your comfort zone and being willing to move your feet. That's all I have for you today.
Come on, can we give another shout out for Ruth this morning? Okay, I'm going to call up here Tristan, Maddie, Gracie, and Ruth. Come on up. How many believe Jesus still heals today? Do you want to hear an awesome testimony of healing? This is Tristan. I love this guy, and I'll just say this. Jesus transformed this guy like crazy. Where he was at in the first 2 weeks to where he's at now is a world of difference, and that is the power of Jesus Christ. You're bright shining every time I see you. So I heard you got a testimony. Testimony?
So hey guys, my name's Tristan. So I have two testimonies actually. So one of them was I hurt my ankle really bad. I was playing basketball. It was a basketball game for some random school I played for. But I rolled it really bad. I got like a high ankle sprain all up my ankle. It was purple, black, just super, super fat and just ugly. And so I came to school one time, we were in the class and we were already praying for stuff like healing. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Maybe I'll get prayed for and like healed. And so we're sitting down and Dave, he tells Diego to come and put his hand on my ankle. And as soon as he puts his hand on my ankle, I just get a warm sensation like all up my, throughout my foot and ankle. And then after he prayed, I looked at it. Leah told me to take my sock off. And I was like, no, that's kind of weird. I'm on my feet, they like stink. And then, I was like, okay, I'll just take it off. I look at it, all the swelling was gone. It was no longer purple or anything. So thank God for that. And then I actually have another testimony today that happened actually. So the past weekend, my dad, he made some food and I ate it. I think it was good, but really fatty and oily from some type of bacon or something. And I think I got food poisoning because the day after, I threw up like 13 times. It was the worst thing ever. And the day after that, I just felt groggy the whole day, got migraines, headaches. And so those 2 days were horrible, felt trash. And then the next day, this morning actually, I threw up like four times today, this morning actually. And then, so I'm walking in, I'm like, oh, I'm still going to go for it. I'm going to get this done. It's all for God. And so I walk in the prayer room, we're all praying. And Dave comes to me and he's like, I'm going to pray for your stomach, dude. I'm like, oh, dude, I need it. And so he starts praying. And then I had to like suck it in because if I had it out, it would hurt. Like I could feel it. It would hurt. I felt like I was going to throw up again. And then I would like, as he's praying, I'm like slowly letting it go out. And I'm like, dude, it's actually feeling better. Like, what's happening? And I look at him, I'm like, bro, is that, it feels better, dude. And then I went to the bathroom and like, I feel 100% better right now. So praise God.
Yeah. Come on. So powerful. Okay, so each one of these students has been praying this morning for words of knowledge. What are words of knowledge? It's information Holy Spirit gives us that we couldn't know naturally. And often it's, you know, maybe we just start getting a slight pain in our hip and the Holy Spirit, you ask the Holy Spirit and says, actually, it's not about your hip. This is just temporary. Someone in the room, their hip's going to get healed. So each one of these students is going to call out words of knowledge. If you feel like in your heart, that's me, I want you to just stand, okay? So we're going to go here. Tristan's going to share. I want you to stand. And then Maddie, and then all the way down the line. And then they're going to pray for you. And we're going to just see what Jesus does. Are we on board for that this morning? Come on. Okay. Let's start here with Gracie.
Okay. So I got, if anyone has any sort of paralysis in any different way, you can stand up. This also might be for live stream. And then I also have like something that's wrong with your organs, whether you need like a donation, like an organ donation, or you've just been having issues, also healing for that.
Okay, can you just repeat, sum up one more time? Just share that. Again, if you have anything with paralysis, was that your first? And then your second?
Paralysis and issues with your organs.
Organs or paralysis, would you stand up? The students are going to pray for you. Anything with paralysis issues or anything with your organs, just stand up. Okay. Ruth, go for it.
All right. So yesterday, randomly throughout the day, I started getting a sore throat. And I've been pretty healthy lately, so I'm like, I don't think I'm sick. Is there anyone in here with maybe strep throat or some form of cold or virus or anything like that? No, everybody's healthy. Oh, nope, there's some people. Okay. Awesome. I also got, while Gracie was saying paralysis, I felt like more specifically maybe sleep paralysis. Anyone with sleep paralysis? I feel led to say this. Maybe you think it's a sleep paralysis demon. Maybe it's that. I don't know. I've heard that joked about, so.
Okay, sleep paralysis, anything with sleep issues, stand up. And then pass down.
All right, I got, so arthritis, and then this morning I was also feeling it too, was left-sided chest pain, and so that might be for your heart or something, some sort of left-side chest pain. And then I also got like this, I saw a picture of a back, and it's been in a lot of pain lately, and specifically it was from some sort of weird movement that you did. And then I also got that in this past year, your eyesight has been a very big concern with you, and you need it to get fixed.
So good. Maddie, could you just read it one more time? Just read it. Okay, she's going to read that one more time. I see a lot of people standing for that. Okay. One more time.
Arthritis, eyesight, back pain, and then left-sided chest pain or heart issues.
So good. Okay, here we go. Tristan.
Yeah, I actually felt like stomach issues too, like myself, like really bad stomach issues. And I also feel, I'm gonna just step out because my mom tells me, just if you feel it, prophesy. I feel like some like addictions, if you have an addiction to something, or like it doesn't have to be an unhealthy addiction or like even like energy drinks or something like that, just any type of like addiction like that, like you really can't stop. I just feel like that, or if anyone has that, stand up, please.
Addiction, stomach issues. Okay. Okay. How many believe Jesus heals? Come on. Okay, Tristan, for the two words you got, I want you to just begin to just declare healing right now in Jesus' name. Yeah. Take up the authority he's given you.
Actually, if someone's standing next to you, can you put your hand on them?
Yeah, just gently on the shoulder. Just really gently on the shoulder. Or you can just extend your hand as well. You don't have to lay it on the person.
And when we pray for people, we don't ask God to do it. We command the pain to leave and everything to leave. So
that's right.
So, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for all these words of knowledge we had, Lord God. I just pray all the pain to leave right now. Jesus, we take all authority you gave us, Lord God, and tell the pain leave right now in Jesus' name. I pray for addictions, Lord God, that you break them, Lord God. You're breaking chains, Lord God. I just pray for stomach pain. That stomach pain goes right now, Jesus, that all this pain bows down to you, Lord God. I just pray full healing for everyone standing right now, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
Okay, really quickly here. Anyone feel improvement from stomach or stomach? And the second thing was addiction. Raise your hand if you just felt something for a stomach, an improvement. Okay, right here. Praise Jesus. Awesome. Praise Jesus. Okay. Okay, anyone like 50, 60% feel better? Okay, there we go. Come on, let's go. So good, so good, so good. Amen. Okay, Maddie, go for it. I want you to pray over the things that you called out here.
All right. Specifically, can you raise your hand if you stood up for eye problems? Is there anybody? Okay. Oh, wow. That's a lot. All right. This specifically, it was something that was very highlighted to me. So if you are having eye problems, can you please just like extend your hands? Thank you. All right. Well, Lord Jesus, we invite you into this place right now, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence, Lord, your sweet presence, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross, Lord, and you resurrected 3 days later, Lord, because by your stripes we are healed, King Jesus. So I take hold of every eyes and all the eyes in the room right now, Lord Jesus, that if there's problems with them, and I command them to be healed now in the name of Jesus. I command them to come into alignment. I command them to come into alignment with the standard of heaven, Lord. So I just declare wholeness, and I declare that vision is going to be restored right now, King Jesus. And I just pray over everything else that I called out, King Jesus, Lord, that you would just have your hand on every person in this room, Lord. If there's any ailment in their body, God, I ask, Lord, that you touch them right now, God, and you heal them where they're at, Jesus. In your mighty name I pray.
Okay, I felt the Holy Spirit really strong when she was praying. Who here, could someone test out your eyes? Anyone have eye improvement right now? Your eyes are clear, you can see better right now. Any degree of improvement, raise your hand here. Where? Amen. You can see better? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Or what about any of the other things she called out? She called about 3 or 4 other things. Raise your hand if you felt that was for you, one of her other words here. Sleep. There were some other things. Amen. Praise God. So good. Okay, Ruth, go for it.
All right. So I started to get the hiccups, so just bear with me. Jesus, we just thank you right now that you are Jehovah Rapha, that you are the God who heals. Lord, I just thank you, God, that you are releasing sweet, sweet sleep that is refreshing over everyone who stood up for that and over everyone in this audience, God. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you would release dreams and visions while we sleep, Jesus. Lord, that it would be sweet time spent with you, God, even while we're asleep and out of it, God, that our subconscious would be ministering to you, Jesus, and being ministered to by you, God. Jesus, I thank you right now that you care about the little things, God. You care about the common cold, Jesus. You care about sore throats. And God, I thank you that you are the one who heals anything and everything, God. So I thank you right now, God, that you are going to heal everyone in this audience who stood up for strep throat or sore throat or anything like that, any cold or virus. We just rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. And we command your bodies to come into alignment with the standard and assignment of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Who felt improvement with like a sinus or some kind of strep throat or sore throat? Right there? You feel better? Yes. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for touching bodies right now. And last but not least, Gracie, would you pray over the things you called out?
Of course. Okay. So, God, I just thank you for gathering everyone here today. Jesus, I just pray a blessing over everyone's health. I not only pray against paralysis, but I pray against anything that is keeping anyone from moving fully to their extent. Whether that's a disability, whether that's an injury, Jesus, we just declare healing over that right now in your name, God. And we thank you that you are the healer and that you set everyone free. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. Okay, I want you to wave your hand if for any of these students who prayed, you felt improvement in your body when they declared and they took authority. Raise your hand. Okay, I see hands throughout the room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Aren't you proud of these students for taking risks this morning? That takes a lot to do that this morning. You guys are good. Thanks. And now, Pastor Jonah, would you? I'm going to do it? Okay, change of pace here. Okay. Well, I am so proud of this guy. 11 years ago, he was baptized right up there. This is my firstborn son. He is amazing. He is brilliant. He has a gift of catching you off guard, and I think he's a lot like Jesus like that because Jesus is full of surprises. Would you join me in honoring my son, Parker Forsyth? Come on. Love you, son.
Good. Here you go. Well, good morning, everyone. So honored that you had me here. Well, title of my message is Drop the Nets. Actually, same message I did on Encounter Night and a few times before. So it's like, I don't know. Had a lot of experience with it. So for those of you who are note-taking or have your Bibles, could you flip to Mark chapter 1, verses 17 and 18? I'll just read them off here. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. I think we can all agree that immediately is a pretty strong word. Like, most of us don't even get out of bed immediately when our alarm rings. Like, sometimes we hit the snooze button a few times and stuff. And yet here, Peter and Andrew, they hear Jesus say, "Follow me." And boom, they drop everything and go. No hesitation, no let me check my calendar, no, oh, can I finish this one last thing? Just nets on the ground and off they go. So let's be honest, if Jesus walked up to some of us at work and said, "Follow me," we'd be like, "Oh, give me a few weeks and I gotta wrap things up." And, "Oh, can I just still keep my beliefs, by the way, too?" No. So what's so compelling that these guys ditched their nets without a second thought? And more importantly, what's keeping us from doing the same? Jesus didn't say, "Follow me and I'll make you a slightly better version of yourself." He didn't say, "Follow me and I'll give you a self-improvement plan with like measurable goals and a 10-step like discipleship program." No, no, no. He said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." It wasn't just a new career move. It was a completely new identity shift. Because They weren't just fishing for food anymore. They were fishing for souls. And they left behind their nets, their security, their livelihood, their comfort zone to do it. The Greek word here for follow is alukophio, not quite, which means to accompany on a journey or to go the same way. Not like you need to check the Greek translation, but in our Bible class that my dad actually teaches, it's encouraged. And I think it just kind of helps me understand the text a little more at times. So here, it's talking about isn't just the proximity to Jesus they were following. The disciples were, it's about the participation to his mission they had. And on a personal note, like last time I was felt led to preach this message, I felt the Lord had me going to fast. And there's some times where we're called to like, do something, whether it's like a discipline, like quitting like an addiction or just like just working out, just like, you know, something he tells us like to go or like a discipline of prayer. Well, for my fast, it was going really well, but I wasn't fully relying on him. I didn't fully drop the net. So on the third day, I'm like, oh, you know, it's probably fine if I drink some energy drinks. I'm really tired out and I wasn't really like spending time in prayer because, you know, just going about my day. And then later I ended up eating a bowl of spicy noodles and well, it's like ended up giving me a horrible stomach ache. Regardless, I still ended up repenting, and the Lord, you know, gave me a great message. Like, it worked out, but there's still consequences to our actions anyway. Getting back on track, though, I think we can kind of treat discipleship like this sometimes. Like, we want to follow Jesus, but we also want to keep our nets of, like, safety, control, like our backup plans. We want to say, yes, Lord, but also let me hold on to this one thing just in case. But Peter and Andrew show that following Jesus means letting go. No backup plan, just trust. So what's your net? What's the thing you keep holding on to in case following Jesus doesn't work out the way you'd like? Maybe it's like comfort. It's been for me. You don't want to step out in faith because it's really scary to do that. Or maybe it's control. Like, you want to follow Jesus, but only if it can be look at in exactly a certain way. Or maybe it's pride. You just don't want to look like a fool for trusting him. But here's the thing. Peter and Andrew dropped their nets. They had no idea what they were signing up for, but they knew who they were following. And that was enough for them. And that's enough for us, too. So Jesus isn't asking you to have it all figured out. He's just asking you to drop the nets and walk with him. So if you want a safe, easy, predictable life, Christianity may not be for you. But if you want a life full of adventure, purpose, and transformation, then drop the nets. Jesus is calling. The only question is, are you willing to let go? Thank you.
Come on, wasn't that such a good word? Are you willing to drop the nets? Come on, my wife, so funny. She doesn't know that I've been telling Parker that he sounds like Tim Mackey from Bible Project. Anybody know who Tim Mackey is from Bible Project? If you don't, I'm going to change your life. Go on YouTube and look up Bible Project. But I believe Parker has a call like that in his life. Give it up for him one more time. So good. I've got some amazing students up here, and we're going to go into a time of prophecy and where these students are getting words for people in the room. But before they do, we're going to share quick one-minute testimonies on how they have let go of nets in their life and what those nets are. Because how many know that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy? And what God has done in someone's life also prophesies to your life that it's possible for you to let go of something as well. Amen. And I believe if God's doing it in our high school students, he wants to do it in the 80 to the 20 to everyone in this room. Amen. And so why don't we give it up? Who's sharing first? Let's give it up for Maddie Garcia. She shares.
All right, so I'm going to share my quick testimony. In the beginning of the year, I started to struggle a lot with anxiety and depression and isolation. I had this moment with God where I was like, I don't want to hold all this weight and heaviness anymore. And so I was praying in my room, and I just like surrendered it to God, hoping that it would actually change things. And that act of surrender ended up turning into a season of a heart transformation for me. And God has been showing me how to lay down the things that I wasn't meant to hold and pick up the things that he actually has for me. And so what I got from all that is we don't have to be slaves to our depression or our anxiety, but we're actually invited to surrender that to the Lord. And as we take that act of surrender, God will transform our hearts and meet us in that.
So good. Hold on. So powerful. Give it up for Maddie. That's amazing. If you're in here, no shame at all. If you're in here and you've been struggling with a lack of peace or anxiety in your life, I just want you to lift up your hand really quick. You felt anxious, worried, lift up your hand. There's no shame. Here's why I say there's no shame. I used to think that anxiety was a sin. And I think sometimes when we talk about mental health stuff in the church, we can get so weird about it. But if you feel like you've had anxiety or worry in your heart, just lift up your hand right now. God wants to set you free from that. That's why I'm saying that. Lift up your hand. Maddie, I just want you to pray really quick, short, brief, powerful, and I believe God's going to bring peace to anxious hearts in this room. So go for it.
Lord Jesus, I just pray that Lord, that you would just be willing to give us peace over the things that are going on in our life, Father God. Yeah, God, I just speak peace over everything. Lord, that you would just come into our hearts and fill us with your presence and your love, Lord Jesus. Lord, that these things wouldn't rule over us, but Lord, we take authority and we rule over them. So Lord, I thank you for your presence and your love. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you believe that and receive that, shout amen. 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 All right, let's hear another testimony from Nikki. Go for it, bro.
What's up, guys? So my big testimony thing has to do with finances. In case you guys didn't know, I make music. It's something that I've been doing for a fat minute. It's my main way of income. And so I'm planning on going to ministry school this fall. So I would need some income to go, you know, to Florida, which is super far. But so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to release this music, blah, 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 blah. And I'm a producer. So I just make the beats and I send it out and artists rap on it or sing on it, do whatever they want on it. And I didn't think much of it. A lot of the artists that I worked with were not Christian, and so they cussed or just said things that weren't really appropriate and didn't align with my beliefs. But I was okay with it because I wasn't the one saying it. So I just put it out, and I didn't think much of it, and I was making money. I was making like maybe like $200 every 3 days. It was super good. I was making money, and I was living life happily. And I brought it, I went to Pastor Matthew's office one day and he just kind of checked me, brought it up to me out of love and brought up some scripture. He brought up 2 Corinthians 6:17-7:1, I believe. And it's basically talking about how light and darkness should not coexist. And I was like, dang, I'm out here saying on this, but I'm out here releasing music with cuss words and talking about sex, money, and drugs. And it's just like, that's not who I am and that's not who I want to portray. So I ended up taking the music down out of faith, even though I was like, well, I really just, I have to make money somehow. I have to do this. And so I surrendered and I just submitted and I dropped the net of my income. And I said, God, I'm going to give you my money. I'm going to give you my income. I'm going to surrender this to you. Not even kidding you. The next week I received $1,000 just out of nowhere. And I'm like, what the heck is this? So like, that's just the big thing in my life is like trusting God with my finances and trusting that I will be perfectly fine. There's no worry that I will be able to, I'll be able to afford gas at the end of the week. I'll be able to get myself food at the end of the week. I'll be able to find myself clothes. So that's just a big net that I had to let go of.
So good. Give it up for Nikki. It's a powerful word. Come on. I believe even that testimony is prophesying to people in this room that whatever you let go of, God has something bigger for you on the other side. And so I just prophesy that over you today. We've got some prophetic words for individuals and just kind of corporate words that these students have. And so let's step forward. Let's step forward, you guys. But we've been in a gift series, actually, a spiritual gift series. So how many know what the gift of prophecy is if you've been coming to Valley? You should know, or I taught it terribly. But you should know. So, but just for those that don't know, these students have prayed and they've heard words from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, that they feel led to release to you this morning. And so let's start off with Maddie Allen.
I'm taking a leap of faith here because this is a totally random name that popped in my head. But is there like a Susan here at all? Susan, or does that name mean anything to anybody? Susan, or it might be like Susie or something. Okay, might be for someone on live stream. It was super short, but that name popped in my head, and I just felt there was this grace for God to bless you financially. It was super short, but I felt like God wanted to bless you financially and bless you specifically in that area of your life. A lot
so
too.
Okay.
And then this, I'm not going to have anybody raise their hand or stand for this, but I will be here. There's leaders here, but I got that there is a young man here, and when he looks at himself in the mirror, he does not see the same thing every time. So body dysmorphia, and I really felt like the Lord wants to set you free from that. That's what he wants to do, and so there's so many people here. I'm here, but if that's you in this room, I would love to talk with you and to pray for you. And then for my next one, I'm going to have everybody close their eyes really quick, just out of privacy for everyone. So could everybody close their eyes? Awesome. All right. Thank you. So specifically, and I've had this word on my heart for a minute now, but and it might just be one, but I think that there's a mama in here, and it might be a lot. But in this past year, you have felt like you are not a worthy mom, that you are not a good mom. So if that's you, could you please raise your hand? Any other hands? Thank you, Lord. Alrighty. And just everybody keep their eyes shut, but I want to pray for all you mamas in the room. So right now, Holy Spirit, I lift up all these hands to you, God, and I lift up the mothers in this room. And I hear this specifically, Lord, that there's an invitation to know him as the Father. To know him as the Father because he can give you qualities of what a good mom is too. That's what he does, is because he's a good father, to know him as that. And so I guess I pray right now, Lord, for all the moms in the room, Lord, where they've really been struggling, God, with feeling like they are unworthy or unfit as a mom. I ask, God, right now that you would give them peace, Lord. You would give them courage, God. You would give them wisdom to lead their children well, God, to lead their children well. And you would give them every resource that they need, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So good. Hey, I want to just do one more thing. Can you guys close your eyes one more time? I just felt this so strong, and I know this is not, this is their, the youth service, but I feel this really strong in the room. I feel like, is there anyone here, keep your eyes closed, is there anyone here where you have just felt like giving up? And I feel like there's been this thing in you where it's just felt like, man, is there even a point? You've just kind of felt like giving up. And I don't know if it has to do with your job. I don't know if it has to do even with your own life. But I'll go as specific to say you've actually even contemplated just not living. If that's you, I just want you to lift up your hand right now. I want you just to lift up your hand. Every eye closed. I see you. I see you. I see you. Yep. I see you. I see you. I see your hand. Okay, everyone, keep your eyes closed. You can put your hands down that raised your hands. I want to just say this. This is why what we're doing right now is this is the gift of word of knowledge and the gift of prophecy. But for everyone in the room that you felt like giving up, let this moment be a sign to you that this is your sign to keep going. That the Lord is speaking right now because he knew that you would be at Valley Church this Sunday morning. And the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. And there is so much more for you. And if God is for you, the Bible says, who can be against you? And I just want to prophesy to everyone who feels like giving up. God is for you. Who can be against you? His plans are to prosper you. His plans are for a future and a hope. And Lord, I just prophesy life and abundance over every weary heart and joy unspeakable and full of glory in the midst of whatever they're going through in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Can we give it up for those students one more time?
So amazing.
So good.
I'm going to come do prophetic art.
Go for it.
That's so amazing. It may not flow quite as smoothly on it, but imagine it as an encounter night. It was great. All right, this is our amazing Riley, and she's been doing prophetic art the whole service. That sunflower is hers. She gave that away on encounter night. This was Avery. She gave this away on encounter night. They're amazing, but she's going to tell you a little bit about this.
Ready? Pull it up. Yeah, I got it. 1 second. I'm going to get my notes. Okay. So the vision that God, or the picture that God gave me for this, was immediately I thought of Narnia in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which is one of the last ones, I think. At the very end, Aslan is like walking on the beach with Reepicheep, and they're like, he's going to like, I think it was like heaven with him, sort of. He's kind of like picturing that. And so I had this picture of like Jesus walking on the beach. And instead of him walking with that person, I actually pictured him like walking with this girl into the sun, and he was like holding on to her fur, or she was holding on to his fur. And I feel like it was supposed to represent like somebody who lost somebody, and to let them know that it's okay and that person is with Jesus now, and they're walking in eternal bliss with him in heaven. So that's what I have a scripture verse too here. I also felt like for the person who lost somebody, I want you to know that God really feels your pain. He feels it more than anybody else does. He like experiences it with you. I felt like while I was doing this art, I just started crying for some reason when I was like preparing the back that I already had done. I felt this deep pain, and I don't know what it was from, but I think I was like feeling what this person was feeling a little bit. So I have John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would you have told you? He would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive myself to you, that where I am, there you may also be. So, yeah, that's all I have.
So she's going to finish working on this and getting it, and then she's going to give it away. So get excited about that. Someone's going to get this. It's amazing. All right, we have two more speakers. It is my privilege and honor. I love this girl. I've loved this girl so long. You cannot wait to hear her story. Gracie Beers, get up here, good looking. And you need to have your communion cup because it's going to be time for that.
Thank you. How are we doing, guys? Good. I know I'm one of the last speakers, so you guys are probably getting antsy and hungry, but I promise I won't take too much of your time. So, if you guys don't know me, my name's Gracie Beers. I'm going to be a senior this next year in high school, which is insane. And I'll be coming back here at VHSM. So, what I'm going to be talking to you guys about today is the joy of the Lord. So, just a show of hands, who here has truly experienced the joy of the Lord before? And it's okay if you haven't. Okay, and who here would love to experience the joy of the Lord? Hopefully, you all will experience that by the end of the day. So, we're going to start off with some basic definitions. So, we have the definition of joy, and it is a deep and abiding inner rejoicing, which is promised to those who abide in Christ. In Nehemiah 8:10b, it says, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So for a definition of strength, just a little reminder, strength means the quality or state of being strong, the capacity for exertion or endurance. So just further into understanding this, for example, who here likes to work out? I do personally, Ruth does too. If you have conviction, just say maybe that's from God. No, I'm kidding. But so when you work out, essentially, you lift weights that push your limits so you can get stronger, right? And so the more you go to the gym consistently, the more you see the progress, and you're able to bump up your weight, and you're able to withstand more weight and be able to lift it, right? And so the more you train yourself to, you're able to hold weight, right? And when you're strong, you can hold your weight and not be shaken. And I think this is really cool because that's what strength means, is to be able to hold weight like that, right? And so it says God's joy is our strength, and it gives us the capacity for exertion and or endurance, which I think is just such a beautiful thing. So where do we get to where our strength is the joy of the Lord? Because that's like not... that's not like what we usually resort to for our strength, right? You know, like usually our strength is either our own might or so many, it can be so many other things. So just to tell you guys a quick little testimony. So in 2023, that summer, I had an accident and I ended up breaking my femur and tore my MPFL in my ligament, and not in my knee. And so I ended up having surgery, and in that surgery, there was a few complications and I ended up getting an infection. And so after that, I ended up having another surgery, and every day I was at a different doctor, just seeing different specialists, trying to get it all cleaned out so I would be able to walk again, right? And so I went through this whole process, and there was one day that my family decided to go on a trip to Seattle, because we were like, gonna go see my brother who's away for college and just all these different things. And so we're like, okay, we're gonna go to the doctor real quick and then we're gonna head out of town. And so we head to the doctor. It's called the wound clinic because I had a wound. Anywho, and so I get there and my doctor looks at my knee and he told me that I needed immediate surgery and that it was too complex to be done here in Idaho because we didn't have a university hospital. And so he told us to go pack our bags and just head straight. Seattle has one, and since we were already going, we're like, might as well go to that one. So we went home, got our stuff immediately, and then just left. And I say we're about 3 to 4 hours away from home in Oregon, just driving there. And we are forced to get off the highway, the freeway, because there was a 50-car pileup due to black ice and fog. And so I was forced into this little small like Oregon town that literally has like a gas station, and that's it. And my family stuck there for 7.5 hours, and I'm just in the backseat of my car with an open wound and need of immediate surgery because I had a deadly infection. And so if I'm just gonna be vulnerable with you guys, that was probably one of the most depressing, vulnerable moments in my entire life because it felt hopeless and helpless, you know? Like there's not much you can do besides just wait, you know? Like you just have to wait. And so finally the freeway opens. We get to Seattle the next day and I had a surgery like a few weeks after that, not a few weeks, a few days, sorry, 1 or 2 days after that. And so after that, just a long story short, I still had a bacteria in my knee after that and the infection after that third surgery. And so me and my mom went with the Henrys to Young Saints at Bethel. It's the best. You guys should go. And so we went. And that last night there, I ended up getting prayer. And I was actually able, the next 2 weeks, I was able to say goodbye to the wound clinic, and I was able to start physical therapy and all these amazing things. And so just a little reminder for you all that got prayer for healing, and if you didn't see it, healing is not always like immediate. Like it can happen gradually as well, because mine was a supernatural like 2 weeks, but it wasn't overnight. But I still saw God heal me, and it was the best thing ever. Anyway, thank you. Anyway, so long story short, that January, I was asked by the former youth pastor to come speak at our ministry school here for adults, and I was asked to speak on how I had hope and joy during my wilderness season, and that was a kind of hard thing for me, because I was like, oh, wait, to be honest, like, I don't feel like I've had hope and joy in this season, because it's been really difficult, right? And so I just hit my knees, and I just started talking to God. And what I came back to was that time with me in the back of the car, and I saw Jesus sitting there right next to me. And I feel like a lot of the times when people tell you, like, yeah, in your pain, Jesus is with you. But to me, I always thought, like, he's up there, and if I have a question, he's going to answer it, you know? But I never came to the realization that what you go through, he's going through it with you. Because in my vision, I was sitting here in the backseat of my car with my leg propped up, and Jesus was sitting right next to me, and he was crying with me. And like all the pain that I was going through, he was experiencing it as well. And it just gave me this new perspective. And honestly, that perspective was enough to give me hope and joy. And so I think it's so beautiful that we get to walk through those trials with God, right? And that just gives us so much peace and joy. So Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So often in the Bible, I don't know if you guys know this, but the Holy Spirit can be used as an analogy as the tree of life, right? And so as Christians, we are called to sow seeds, and fruit will come from it, and as we see in this verse, that one of God's fruit is joy. And in Genesis 2:9b, it says, the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So this verse tells me that us as Christians, as people, we have access to two different trees, right? And in Genesis, we see that the fall of man came from God's, from man's fruit, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And our salvation came from God's tree, God's fruit, right? Which was Jesus. And so the fruits of the Spirit are on the tree of life, and anything else that is in our lives is not from the tree of life. It is from the other tree. And so we need to remember the importance of what we are feeding ourselves, because we are called to live a life of joy as our strength, right? As our food, right? And so if you think about it, food is what gives you strength, right? So when you eat or consume something, it gives you strength, right? And so if you eat or consume joy or any of the other fruits of the Spirit as your food, as your strength, it will become what strengthens you, right? And so it'll become your fuel. And so you have to be careful what you are feeding yourselves, because if you are feeding yourself sin and depression and all these different things, what's going to become your strength? Like, you just think about it. But if you are feeding yourself God and love and joy, that becomes your strength, right? And so 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, be cheerful no matter what, pray all the time, thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong Christ Jesus to live. And guys, this is just so exciting because it's like, I think a lot of time I used to think that joy was like a gift, but it's actually like, we accept Jesus, boom, we have joy, you know? Like it's an immediate thing that we accept into our lives and it's gonna be our strength and it's so beautiful. So I just wanted to remind you guys today that joy is such an accessible thing in your life. Like it is right there and it could be your strength as long as you're feeding yourself with it, right? So now I'm gonna lead, we're gonna go into communion. So I don't know if any of you guys have done communion before, probably a lot of you have, but just in case you haven't, it explains it pretty well in 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26. And so if any of you guys don't have a cup, could you raise your hands and we'll have people pass them around? Perfect. So I'll just kind of talk about it while we're getting the cups ready. So so the gospel message, right? Jesus came and he died and then he rose, right? And so the Passover feast, right before he ended up being crucified, he had dinner with all of his disciples and this happened then. And so the bread, the little cracker that we guys are gonna eat represents God's body that he gave for all of us. And so his body that was shed on the cross, the blood, that's the bread, right? And so the wine or the grape juice, because we are in church, represents his blood. And that is also a representation of the new covenant. And that was confirmed by Jesus's blood. And so whenever we partake in communion, we are retelling the story of Jesus's death and resurrection. And yeah, it's a symbolic thing, but I also believe that it's an act of faith. Once in class, Pastor Jonah told us that a lot of people will say, like, we're going to take the elements, but actually a good way of saying it is we're going to receive the elements, because you don't take Jesus, you receive Jesus. And so we're going to receive Jesus when we take the communion. Another thing in 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, you cannot eat and drink from the table of both demons and God. And so with this, I believe that this is an act of faith that you guys are choosing to eat from the table of God, which consists of joy and love and peace and patience. And so I want you guys to believe that as soon as we partake in this, you're going to see that transform your life. Like you're going to see the joy, you're going to see the peace. And that's what this is. This is an act of faith of accepting that into your guys' life. So if I could have you all stand with me if you're able to. And we're just going to bless this and we're just going to receive. We are going to receive Jesus. Okay. So if you guys want, you guys can peel back the cracker. And I'm just going to pray for you guys. So Lord God, we just thank you for the ways that you have provided for us and you have given us strength, God. God, we thank you for the fruit and the food that you feed us with, and so that we no longer have to feed ourselves with things from this world, but God, we can feed ourselves with your truth. Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you have given us, and we take it in honor of you. You guys can take the cracker. Now, if you guys want to peel back the juice. And like I said, this represents the blood. So God, we just thank you for the blood that was spilled. We thank you for our salvation that was given to us from this, Jesus. And we just honor you. God, we could not be more thankful for the sacrifice that you have given us. God, we honor you and we thank you. In your name I pray. You guys can drink the juice. So God, I just thank you that as we have partaked in your communion, that we are now in community with you. Jesus, I pray for just fresh fruit over everyone in this room. Jesus, that they just feel your presence and that joy and love and strength start becoming what strengthened them, Jesus. God, we thank you for being there, and we thank you for loving each and one of us. In your name I pray, amen. Okay, guys. So I'm gonna invite up my wonderful friend. This young man has become a quick brother to me. I genuinely love him so much, and he has such a heart for God. So if you guys could give it up for Micah Burnaby.
Thank you so much. You're the best, Gracie. Yeah, well, thank you guys so much for entrusting the youth to do service with y'all. I'm so honored to be here and to run a race with every single generation represented. So what's going to happen tonight is, or not tonight, oh my gosh, this morning, praise God. This morning what's going to happen is the gospel is going to be preached. And there is going to be two opportunities today. The first opportunity is going to be to meet Jesus for the first time. And the second opportunity is for those of you who've had a relationship with the Lord but have walked away, and it's going to be to rededicate your life to the Lord. You see, we are in a church building today, but some of you in here, your hearts may still be empty. Why? Because you have not met the one whom church is about yet. And just like being in church doesn't make you a Christian, being in McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger, right? It takes an actual encounter with the Lord. And I believe tonight that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in this room, and he wants to meet you, set you free, and give you a relationship with him today. So I'm going to pray. Lord God, Jesus, you are so good. And I pray that you would do what only you can do. I pray that you would draw people in with your love, Lord God, and that you would save people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 1:9. It says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the church, a lot of times we like to talk about what we're called to. Are we called to missions? Are we called to this job or whatever? But our truest and highest calling is to be in a relationship with God. You see, humanity, it's our innate design is to be in a relationship with Jesus. Say, I am made for a relationship with God. In God's love, that is where we thrive. You see, when God made humanity, he placed them in the garden. And it was perfect because humanity had an unhindered relationship with Jesus. They experienced the fullness of his glory. They experienced his love on a day-to-day basis, and they would walk with him in the cool of the day and commune with the Lord. But you see, what happened is Adam and Eve were deceived by the devil. They were tricked into sinning. And when they sinned, a curse fell upon them, and they were separated from God. Since the separation from God, when humanity had to leave the garden, we've been in this search to find what was lost. And you see, we've looked for what was lost in all the wrong places. The Bible says that for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. We have all bought the lie that we can find the fulfillment and wholeness that we lost in sin. And you see, we'll go to sin, we'll run to the world to find our identity, but we get disappointed. All we find is instead of pleasure, we find shame. We find brokenness. We see brokenness and hurt come into our families. Our addictions cause actual harm to our bodies and harm to our minds. And you see, sin does not just make your day worse. More worse off, but sin, the Bible actually says that the soul that sins shall die. And you see, there's a story in the Old Testament, and this story is in Numbers, and it talks about when the Israelites were wandering through the desert. They set up their camp, and there were fiery serpents that were biting the Israelites and causing them to die. And you see, in response, the Lord told Moses, he said, I want you to create a bronze replica of a serpent and put it at the top of a pole. So when the Israelites would get bitten by the serpent, by the snake, when they would look upon the pole, the power of God would come upon them and they would live and not die. And you see, there are serpents in some of our lives today, and those serpents are our sins. And this sin leads to death. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And this death is an eternal separation from God. But the Bible also says, if you continue the verse, it says, but the free gift of God is everlasting life. And in John 3:14, it says that just as the serpent was lifted up on the pole in the desert, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And my friends today, if you look upon the man who was lifted up onto the cross, what's going to happen is you're going to get set free from your sin. You will live and you will not die. You will receive a gift of eternal life and you find what you've lost, which is fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, it gets better because God does not just stop there. His heart is to restore you. There is a promise in Ezekiel 36:26, and it says this, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. You see, we have all had a residual brokenness from our sin, but the Lord is going to give you a new heart today. Amen. So you see, if you're in here today and you're questioning if God loves you, God loves you this much that he would go up on a cross for you. He came down as a man, a person who was fully God, but fully human. He could relate with all of your struggles. And you see, this Jesus, he went into the world preaching the coming of the kingdom. He said the kingdom is at hand, and he'd cast out demons. He'd heal the sick and he'd restore the brokenhearted. And you see, there were evil men that wanted to kill Jesus because they did not believe his testimony that he was the Son of God. So these men took Jesus and they ripped out his beard. Undeservingly, Jesus was beaten. He was mocked by his very own people. And you see, Jesus received a lash and a scourge, whichever he would get whipped, and his flesh was torn from his back. And you see, Jesus, he bore his cross to a place called Golgotha, a place called the skull. And in Golgotha, Jesus was nailed to the cross. He had nails in his hands for everything that you did with your hands that you shouldn't have done. When you reached for that beer bottle, when you grabbed your phone to watch pornography, when you decided to do the devil's work with your hands, Jesus was nailed to that cross. Jesus took nails in his feet for every place you went that you shouldn't have gone. If you went to go and join in with sin, to do things with your buddies that you shouldn't have done, Jesus took a nail in his feet, and he had a crown of thorns on his head to reverse the curse that was came upon us with the fall of man. And you see, Jesus hung on that cross for 6 whole hours. The Bible says that Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. And the joy was this, that he would have you as his people and as his prized possession. My friends, Jesus loves you so much. And the Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of Christ. So that means this, that you, if you do not know Jesus today, that your sinful self that walked in the door is going to die with Christ. And you're going to be raised up a new creation with a new heart. You're going to receive the righteousness of God right before God as if you've never sinned before, holy as he is holy. And you see, when Jesus poured out all the blood that was needed for the cleansing of our sins, he said, it is finished, and he gave up his spirit to God. And the devil thought he could keep the God-man who was in love in the grave. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, and he is alive today, knocking at the door of your heart, asking, beckoning you to let him in. See, the Bible says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond to the gospel. And Jesus is going to wash you. He's going to make you new. He's going to change your life forever. But you may not want to respond because you're afraid of what the person next to you thinks. But I'm here to tell you today that the person that you're going to stand for on judgment day is Jesus. It's not your spouse. It's not your friend. It's not your pastor. The only opinion that matters today is the Lord's opinion. And he loves you so dearly. So before I make a call, I'm going to share a story because everybody loves stories. There was once a wise man who lived in a village. And this wise man could answer any question and any riddle. He could not be fooled. But in this village was also a troublesome youth, a delinquent boy. And he loved to play pranks and trick people. So one day he decided that I'm gonna use my wit and I'm gonna trick this old man. So I'm gonna go out in the field and I'm gonna catch a butterfly and I'm gonna put the butterfly in my hand. And I'm gonna go to the wise man and I'm gonna ask him a question that he cannot answer. So he goes to this wise man, and the plan was he was going to have the butterfly in his hand. And he was going to ask him, is the butterfly in my hand, is it dead or alive? And if the wise man said it was alive, he was going to crush it in his hand, and he was going to be wrong. He was going to kill the butterfly. But if the wise man said it was dead, he was going to open up his hand and let it fly away and say, ha, gotcha. So he goes, he catches the butterfly, he brings it to the wise man, and he says, wise man, I have a question that you cannot answer. And he says, is the butterfly in my hand, is it dead or is it alive? So the wise man, he stepped back, he started touching his long beard and scratching his gray hair, he's in thought. And finally he had an answer. He said, son, the power of life and death is in your hands today. The choice is yours. And my friends, the choice for life and death is in your hands today, between heaven and hell, fellowship with Jesus or fellowship with the devil. So my friends, right now, I just want everybody to stand. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. If you're saying right today that I want to be forgiven of my sins, I want you to raise your hand. This is for people who want to meet Jesus for the first time, or people who want to rededicate their life. If you're saying, I want to meet Jesus for the first time, I want you to raise your hand. If you're saying, I want to have a relationship with God, if I want to get set free from my sins, I want you to raise your hand right now. Come on, today is the day where you meet Jesus. The Bible says that the time of salvation is now. Tomorrow is not promised. So we're going to pray a prayer, and you guys are going to pray with me, but the prayer is not going to be what saves you. It's the faith in the prayer. It's faith in Jesus. So guys, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I am a sinner in need of salvation. I repent of all my sins and I turn to you. I received your free gift of eternal life. Save me now. As of today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Jonah, if you want to come up.
Come on. So proud of you. Come on. Can we just lift up a shout to Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, the gospel, Reinhard Bonnke says, the gospel is good news, not good history, because whenever it is preached, it happens. And that's what just happened in here. People all over this room, there were so many people who raised their hands to give their life to Jesus for the first time or rededicate their life. So can we just celebrate those who raised their hands one more time? So powerful. That's what it's all about, even if it's just for one. I feel like we could preach the gospel every Sunday and it'd be good. Even from you, Mike. That was just so powerful, so powerful. Here's what I want to do. I want to invite our VHSM team forward, and prayer team, if you can come forward. Whoever is on prayer team, I actually don't know. But I want to invite, and you guys can just come forward like this. Just fill this altar. And this is how we end every service here at Valley Church. And also, I know the time, it's 12:20. If you need to get your kids, you're free to go and do that. You can go and pick up your kids. But I want to make some time, and you can bring them in and get prayer. I want to make some time on this Sunday for our high school students to pray for you. Because I've been here, you know, every week and teaching them once a week in the beginning, twice a week. Pastor Matthew, what, three times a week? So many of our teachers pouring into these high school students, and the fruit is showing right here in this service. And we believe that these kids have something to impart and give and pray with you for. And so, again, if you raised your hand today for healing in your body or whatever it is, they would love to pray with you. If you raised your hand to give your life to Jesus for the first time, they would love to pray with you. If you want more of God and you want to burn like them, you better get up here and get prayer. I remember Bill Johnson said this when he went to the Toronto Outpouring, Toronto Blessing. Anyone know what that is? In 1995, the 90s, the Toronto Outpouring Revival. When Bill Johnson went there and they ever did an altar call, this is Bill Johnson's word, not Jonah's word, okay? But Bill said this. He said, if they made a call
for a pregnant lady, he would have went up there and went to the altar call because he wanted whatever was in that room because he knew he didn't have it. And he wanted to encounter God the way that they were. And so he went up for every call. And so this morning, not tonight, Micah, you got me on saying tonight. This morning, if you want more of God, they would love to pray with you. So I want to pray with you, and then we're just going to open up for this time. But Lord, I just thank you, Jesus, God, for this Sunday, Lord, for the youth of Valley Church, this high school, and the next generation. And Lord, we just say the future is bright. And Father, we thank you, Father, for the future that's right here in this next generation. And Lord, we honor the past, but we thank you, Jesus, for what is to come. And Lord, we pray today that miracles would take place all over this room at this altar. And Lord Jesus, we pray that your will and your way would be done. We love you, we love you, we love you. And we thank you for all you did this morning. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Again, come get prayer. These students would love to pray with you before they go back and eat. I think they have sandwiches in the prayer room, not for you, but for them. So, but before they go, they would love to pray with you. God bless you. Have an amazing Sunday. Go move your feet, like Ruth said. In Jesus' name, love you, love you, love you.